Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And we end today's family meeting on Growing Up Mixed with a mixed bag of topics we didn't get to. We're going to open up the phones now for you to call in on how you navigate other kinds of diversity within your family. We've talked about race. We've talked about religion. We've talked about politics. Now we've talked about income. What'd we miss? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What other kind of mixed family are you in? 212-433-9692. Some things that came to our minds here on our team. What about families where one person is a vegetarian and one person eats meat? What about families where one person is a Yankees fan and the other is a Mets fan, or even more depressing, a Knicks fan and a Nets fan? We can talk mixed geography, mixed gender identity, mixed anything. 212-433-WNYC. What other kind of mixed family are you in that we haven't talked about today, and what issues does it raise for you, either as somebody who grew up in that kind of mixed family or somebody who's an adult partner in that kind of mixed family? Or it can also pertain to your extended family, like we were hearing from the last caller about going with their in-laws. They don't have the same amount of money and they can't go out to dinner the same way every night. 212-433-WNYC, and we will take your calls on Growing Up Mixed Miscellaneous right after this. It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and it's a Brian Lehrer Show family meeting today, Growing Up Mixed. I hope we've been able to not only get some interesting stories out there, but help some of you who have to navigate the various kinds of diversity there are within families that can be sources of tension, as we've talked about mixed race and mixed nationality and mixed religion and mixed politics and mixed income families. So for our last few minutes here, what'd we miss? What other kinds of mixed families are you in? 212-433-WNYC. What kinds of issues does it raise in your particular case? How do you navigate those issues successfully, we hope? What kinds of humor and family comedy come up around these issues? 212-433-9692. And Dana in Hoboken, you're on the air. Hey, Dana.
Hi, Brian. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Glad you're here. What kind of mixed family are you in?
I have actually been a vegan for about 15 years. I went vegan when I was a sophomore in high school. And so, obviously, I was still under my parents' roof, and they were very, very supportive. My dad got really excited that he could start to cook different things and kind of experiment in the kitchen. My parents had a vegan shelf in the refrigerator. My sister went vegetarian about a few years later. But they're still, you know, pretty carnivorous. They're pretty, you know, normal, and they would make meals work, but it was always difficult going out to extended family. Mm-hmm. I had aunts and uncles and grandparents that were like, "What? But you're Italian. You're not going to eat mozzarella. You're not going to eat the lasagna I made." So it, through the years, it's become much more accepted. But I actually have a new boyfriend this year, and I've kind of avoided eating situations with his family because while he is very accepting of it, even though he's not a vegan or a vegetarian, they're a very strict Italian family and kind of the same situation all over again.
Since you've had so many iterations of this for 15 years of this, do you have any advice for other mixed diet families out there, especially when one is a vegan?
You know, it's never a problem cooking in because the people that I tend to cook in with don't necessarily need to eat meat or need to eat dairy, or they'll add it on the side or make kind of a separate dish. It's usually when it comes to like big holiday things, mm-hmm. you know, typically on Christmas Eve.
I guess the question is, who's it on? You know, who's it on? Is it on them to always make sure there's something vegan for you on the table, you know, as an option? Or is it on you to always tell them, look, here are the things that I could eat that, you know, maybe are kind of similar to what you're cooking, and so it's not too much trouble, or even bring your own? Who's it on, do you think?
I think it's definitely more of a mixed thing. I tend to feel a little bit more guilty, and I'm like, oh, you're accommodating me. I'm so sorry. I'll do whatever I can. My family now, it's no issue to them, but I think joining a new family, I'm kind of going through it all over again. just making sure, you know, I said to my boyfriend, I'll bring like a couple dishes to Christmas Eve and, you know, make sure that there's something there. But it's difficult outside of my immediate family.
Gesture goes a long way. But Dana, good luck. I hope
Thank
that works out for
much.
You. Thank you so much. Keep listening. And Peter in Astoria has another diet story. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? My wife, well, I'm back up. I keep kosher style. I try separating the meat and dairy utensils. She doesn't really like that at all, so she works through it and around it. Sometimes, I don't know, cheats a little bit, and I just kind of look the other way. The irony is that we're both secular humanistic Jews, so it's one step in and one way big step out, though I still like keeping kosher style. And it so we don't bring in non-kosher, I'd rather seafood like lobster and clams in.
Right.
But we have she cooks a lot too, so it's non-kosher cooking for my sister's family, which doesn't always approve of her bringing things over because it's a non-kosher home, but she does definitely cook Jewish foods. So it's frustrating because we're just always trying to make this balance work. It's been going on for many years, but every once in a while it flares up and she doesn't really want to do it anymore. And it's a little giving in and trying to work through it.
And that's the best advice you can give to anybody out there who may be going through something similar or parallel, just kind of try to give in a little on all sides.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to say
but it's hard because
other way, but just take a gulp and grin and bear it, and maybe next time it'll not have a again.
How bad is it for you if, let's say, the utensils are not separated? You know, the one are touching the kind of food that they're not supposed to touch. How much is like?
I just get quirky, but she has her all purpose utensils. So she can bring whatever wants to table. So let's say if I'm having chicken, she'll have chicken, but she'll put on cheese on it. She has her own forks and knife and spoon. Right. I mean, we use glass, which is the equalizer, glass plates, rather. I just look at her, and she looks at me, and it's just not I just go on.
Yep, you just go on. And Peter, we're just going to go on. And sometimes that's what it comes down to as relationships muddle through is we just go on. Thank you. Patricia in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patricia.
Hello. The issue that hasn't been addressed is education. And it has made it so I've truly lost a sister. I put myself through college, have a PhD. She never went to college. And it's the division is just in values and what I'm interested in and lifestyle. It's affected all parts of our relationship. Thanksgiving was quite difficult when the gathering wanted to talk about the new Cadillac and cars and topics that I don't even have a car.
So the Cadillac, I think some of us probably heard you say one side wanted to talk about the new Cadillac and thought, your educated self can afford an expensive car. But really it's they were interested in cars as a topic and you weren't.
And I wanted to talk about either literature or a latest book or trends or politics, anything that I find interesting, and there's just no common ground.
How do you bridge the gap? I hear you're expressing a problem. You're not calling up to say we have found the solution. But how do
No, we tried cooking Thanksgiving. That's when it became so obvious to me. You know, just talking about food and what mother used to make or grandmother used to make, trying to just talk about family times. But it's not a growing relationship. It's not dynamic in any way.
Patricia.
And I have a sense of loss of a sister. We're both in our 50s and have so little in common.
Patricia, thank you. And I wonder, listeners, if anybody has any advice for Patricia and relates to this particular situation, the mixed education family. Maybe you can post some thoughts on our webpage and Patricia go back and check it in a little while and see if anybody has. because I'm sure this is a pretty common thing. 212-433-WNYC to talk on the air about your various mixed kinds of families. But go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehr Show to maybe post some advice for Patricia, who is experiencing what she said is as if the loss of a sister through their difficulty finding things to talk about with one very educated and one not much. Amy in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
What kind of mixed family are you in?
I wanted to talk about the fact that when I was growing up in Colorado, my parents built their own house, and we dug for a well and dug and dug and dug and never got water. So we ended up having to haul our water in. And so I have grown up always being very sensitive about how much water we use. And my older brother has the same situation in his family. His wife insists on bathing their son every night with a whole big full bathtub of water.
And so you're in a mixed water conservation household.
Right. And, you know, ideas about recycling, how much stuff you have around the house, trying to repair something as opposed to just trashing the old one and buying a new one.
And you think your partner is so wasteful and your partner thinks that you are just too obsessed.
It's the sense of it's not sort of a disagreement, but everybody's gotten into their own habit of letting the water run as they brush their teeth or letting the water run in the sink while he's across the corner cleaning the stove and letting the water run. And it's sort of, I physically, you know, I cringe when I sort of feel he can hear the water running and nobody's using it.
Amy, thank you very much. From our webpage, listener writes, I grew up in a mixed medical attitude household. I was raised by my naturopathy, homeopathy, Reiki practicing mom, who is convinced that Western medicine is all a giant conspiracy. When I was 13, I discovered the wonders of Advil and haven't looked back. I wonder why she was 13. I try not to talk about the placebo effect too much while I'm home for the holidays. And Naomi from Brooklyn writes, I come from a family with mixed mental health outlooks. My mother is passive-aggressive and manipulative. My sister and I have conversations about how to navigate our tense, difficult, emotionally draining relationship, and I don't want it influencing my baby's emotional development. Yikes. Anna B. in Bedford. You're on WNYC. Anna B., hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, yeah. My story has to do with a little bit of everything. One, I was I raised in Paris. My father was Hungarian, my mother American. I was born in Iran. So when my people would say, where are you from? What do you feel most likely like? And I would say, I'm international. And they all laughed. Then I moved to the States and married a divorced Jew, and I'm a Roman Catholic, 18 years of Catholic school. Well, my parents disowned me at that point, and I thought, why? Because we're not the same. And then our children were born, and people said, well, why are you going to raise your children? And I said, we're raising the past.
And Amy, your line is, Anna B., your line is breaking up, but I think some of your story got out there, so we will leave it there. And Pearl in Tribeca, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pearl.
Hi.
What kind
I'm
of mixed?
I'm calling about mixed body temperature and how it has impacted my dating and stepping down decisions. I am Caribbean heritage.
You're so always cold, and the people here are always hot.
Yes. And in college, I dated somebody from Canada, and we're still in touch. He bathes in Northern Mountain Stream. And I said, oh, no, you can't do that. You'll turn to a popsicle. Then I dated somebody in Chicago, and I thought, oh, Windy City, no. And now I'm dating somebody who skis mountains. And even in the movie Best Man Holiday, there was a scene where the couples did separate vacations because of different body temperatures.
I hear you. There's, you know, they make these blankets, these electric blankets, where you can turn up one side and turn down the other side.
Right. That's better than one person being under the covers and the other person being over the covers.
Pearl, thank you very much. From the mixed temperature household, Victoria in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call in because I live with my boyfriend, my partner, who has a chronic illness. And so our mixed household is a disability and kind of living with that. And I just wanted to say that we've been together for 5 years. And I would say the first four, we were very strained over things because I love appreciating all that New York has to offer, and I would always be out and about after work on adventures, and his physical ability is somewhat limited.
Yeah.
So
the mixed ability household, and I imagine it's tougher, or I shouldn't say I imagine, I have no idea whether it's tougher, but it creeps up on people sometimes because they're married for a long time, and then one develops disabilities that the other doesn't.
Right, and I would say, I would love to say that every day in and out I was perfectly understanding, but I had to weather a lot of like frustration and review kind of like my identity in the city because I love matching the energy of the city. And but what it did and what I didn't expect is 5 years later is it made me slow down and it made me have different priorities, and it just helped me to appreciate, like, walks around the neighborhood, mm-hmm. which I never took. You know, I'd always jet into Manhattan, and or just enjoying a quiet meal at home. I would always eat out at crazy restaurants and da-da-da-da-da. And so it's been a learning experience, and it's forced me to kind of reassess who I am and how I spend my time. And I actually have a lot of gratitude now. It took a long time to get it.
It's a beautiful story, Victoria, and so beautiful that I think we're going to end on that. Thank you for all your calls on this Brian Lehrer Show family meeting, Growing Up Mixed. Thanks for all your stories and curiosity and searching for answers together. It's been really great. Tomorrow, it's our end-of-year news quiz. Call in and compete for prizes. Were you paying attention in 2013? Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
Sometimes